Lifestyle Matters. It's more than money. I'm Faisal Carmelli, and my co-host here, Rob Gehry. Rob, how are you?
Good, Faisal. Good. It's a busy week.
It's right? Snowing. Well, much snow.
get ready, right? Hey, we had an easy fall, so we can't complain.
You know, that's
you're still gonna complain, aren't you?
I'm still gonna complain. And it was like not even that cold outside, but I'm still gonna complain.
We're not acclimatized yet.
You know who else is gonna complain? 1.2 million Canadians, as their mortgages come up for maturity or renewal next year, and interest rates have almost doubled, if not doubled.
We'll talk about it. I'm one of them.
Yeah, there you are. We're going to figure out what does Rob do? Mm-hmm. What does a person do when their mortgage is coming up for maturity? And should we get rid of minimum retirement income fund? We call it a RIF, mm-hmm. a minimum RIF withdrawal. Just get rid of it all. Don't have the minimum. Let people decide whatever they want to withdraw, when they want to withdraw. We're going to have a good conversation about that one. And of course, topic du jour. We got some liberal bucks that were flown all over the place coming up this Christmas time.
Yeah, we'll talk about where to spend where the party starts.
Yeah, right? Party starts. GST's out. Party is in. But you know what's not a party? All the tax situations and changes that have happened here. We've got our guest, reoccurring guest, of course, Kenneth Lynn, partner at Quadrant Accounting. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Faisal and Rob.
All right, Ken, we've got a question about what's been happening with the capital gains and the change that happened with the budget and retroactive to June. There's a lot of confusion. Is this actually going to happen or not? And how are the accountants in handling this when you've got maybe a rule that isn't a rule that should be assessed or done that shouldn't be done? How do you guys handle it?
Sure. Yeah. Good question. It's tricky and it's problematic for sure, but we're going on the premise that effective June 25th, this is a rule. And the change in the capital gains inclusion rate from 50% to 66.75% is a go. And so we've planned accordingly and advise our clients accordingly, whether or not it becomes, it gets royal assent and it becomes law. It's much more of a legal thing and for political aficionados, but we're going on the premise that this is a go and we're planning accordingly with our clients.
And I think that's just being prudent. Mm-hmm. Like if you expect it to go through, then you're prepared for it. But if it doesn't go through, at least you were prepared for it and you didn't have to like worry about penalties and interest and all these other issues that come up. So that makes sense. The other thing that's come up quite a bit is the concept of bear trust. We had clients that we were speaking to. We've had people call in from the show and wanted to chat with us. They've got money and joint accounts with their parent, with their sibling. They've got a whole bunch of money or what they consider to be bear trusts. And then we get calls like, what exactly is a bear trust? So in about 30 seconds or less, if you can, what's a bear trust, Ken?
Bear trust is if somebody is holding property for the benefit of somebody else. So like in your guys' world, it's a parent is holding on to a bank account an investment account on behalf of a child or vice versa. Child is holding onto an account on behalf that is for the beneficial use of someone else, like their parent or like their child.
So can you kind of give us the highlight of what happened and what you see going forward with those bear trusts?
I think what has happened is CRA sees that, and you know, there's a difference between CRA and the politicians that make the rules, but I think CRA has seen that this is a that they're having issues with how are they going to enforce whether or not people file, how will they assess these returns, etc. And so what they did recently on October 29th is they made an announcement that for the 2024 year, they're again allowing people to not have to file a trust return if you are in one of these bear trust relationships.
So is it a punt? We have to get ready again for next year, or is it a we'll wait till the election's done and see if we're going to get this actually put through?
Yeah, I think what will end up happening is they have to wait to, you know, for whoever is going to form government after the next election, and then ask them, hey, listen, can we rework these rules so that we have a mechanism to actually enforce them, and it's easier for the public to understand what their requirements are to comply with these rules.
Ken, we get another one here that I think confuses people. Faisal, I think we hear this AMT and you're going, oh, what does that mean? Alternative minimum tax. Right. And you know, for a lot of our clients, especially in retirement. So maybe briefly explain what AMT is first.
AMT is sort of a parallel tax calculation where it's aimed to so that all taxpayers pay a minimum amount of tax on their income. And so it's aimed to, if you earn certain types of preferentially taxed income, such as capital gains or dividends, and also take advantage of certain tax deductions or certain tax credits, then you have to pay a minimum amount of tax on your income if the AMT is calculated as higher than what your ordinary tax is with the income minus all those deductions and all those different credits. So it's a parallel calculation.
So Ken, who are the people from an income level that are most impacted that need to worry about this? Because this comes up and people start to, you know, get concerned, and it may not even be part of their real life. It's just something they keep on hearing about. So if you were to kind of label out what kind of income level or what situations does AMT apply to?
Yeah, I would say that AMT is most likely going to apply to folks who are no longer earning employment income, and their only other sources of income are different forms of investment income or partnership income. And so if you are a retiree and your investment portfolio generates capital gains and dividend income from public companies, then it's possible that you could walk yourself into AMT if you use other tax deductions or tax credits when you're filing your tax return and trying to minimize your tax exposure.
We are now heading into the end of the year where people start talking about charitable donations. Does charitable donations, if you make a large one to offset your income that's not employment income, is that on the table of being calculated against alternative minimum tax or AMT?
Yes. So making charitable donations yields tax credits, and tax credits are a reduction of the taxes owing in that particular year. And it is possible that if you make large charitable donations, that that tax credit reduces your taxes owing to an amount where AMT is higher than the tax calculated from your regular calculation.
We've been talking tax with Ken Lin, partner at Quadrant Accountant. Ken, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
All right, we're going to talk about tax even more and how it impacts your retirement, our upcoming seminar. Rob, when is that?
You got it. In Calgary, join us Tuesday, December 3rd, 7 p.m. in person at the Carriage House Inn. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com or connect with us on Facebook to register.
Okay, tax is going to impact your retirement, but so is your retirement income fund. Join us after the break when we talk about that on More Than Money and QR Calgary.